Blue Cliff Record, Case 87. Yunmen's Medicine and Sickness. Yunmen said to the assembly, "Medicine and sickness mutually correspond to each other. The whole universe is medicine. What is the self? Please sit comfortably." And put your hand up if you can't hear me. If I see you, I'll try to speak louder. So, what is the Dharma if not healing? We're talking about medicine and sickness. Didn't the Buddha go out into the busy world to share his insight in order to relieve suffering? And that's not just his business, but yours and mine, and not just for ourselves. The words heal and health have wonderful etymological cousins. They stem from the Indo-European root kylo, which is also the root for holy and whole. To be healed is to be restored to wholeness. Indeed, to realize what was never broken in the first place. Apart from Maeve's arm, of course. That recollection of wholeness is where the sacred resides. Also known as the mind of vast emptiness, nothing whole. The medical idiom is commonly used in Buddhism. And at the memorial service for Roshi, I shared a little story which some of you have heard, but I'll say it for those who didn't hear it. It was my first session, and I had understood that the way to breathe in Zazen was with your mouth shut. But unfortunately, I had quite an allergic condition, which meant that I couldn't breathe with my mouth shut without making a lot of noise. So I was doing Zazen and feeling that I needed to do this because it was the right thing, but at the same time feeling very anxious about the people next to me. So finally I went to see Roshi and explained this to him, and he said, "Breathe with your mouth open. Just like that." And then he said something that I've always remembered. He said, "Think of the dojo as a hospital." And I'm sure that he didn't just mean a hospital for people with breathing problems. So that's what we're all doing here. Some healing or another. The Buddha is the great physician, who's commonly talked about as the great physician. In the Shodoka, we read, "The sick meet the king of doctors. Why don't they recover?" The Buddha is so practical. He diagnoses a sickness and prescribes a remedy. The core malady, according to Dr. Shakyamuni, is dukkha, suffering, anguish. Dissatisfaction when nothing is or remains the way that I want it to be, which is pleasurable. In fact, nothing lasts full stop. Funny about that. Given my utter lack of control, and indeed the fiction of controller and the controlled, suffering is inevitable. Any contingent joy is only temporary. Existence, he taught, is characterized not only by dukkha and anicca, impermanence, but also by anatta, no self. The conception of a permanent self, an I, that wants this and doesn't want that, underlies the ailment. The doctor lays out a cure in the form of the Eightfold Path. His prescription: right views, right thoughts, right speech, right conduct, right livelihood, right effort, right recollection, right absorption. Integrated and embodied, embraced as a way of life, these seamless steps will cut out the root of suffering, that is the preoccupation with the construction and maintenance of I, me, mine. Yun Men, whom we meet in today's case, was also seen to be a physician of sorts. He was considered the most skillful of the Zen masters in his ability to offer a practical teaching exactly corresponding to the individual in front of him, particularly appropriate and specific means. Though this koan is comprehensive, to say the least, it is also a nifty little pill that can be digested by you or me, meant just for each of us, unique medicine for a unique condition. For only you can respond to his question, what is the self? So he says, medicine and sickness mutually correspond. Mutually correspond. This is the language of the Huayin school of Buddhism. Its teaching presents the ultimate, Li in Chinese, translated as the principle, as interpenetrating Shi, the phenomenal, the realm of myriad particulars, donkeys and thistles. Each thing is connected to everything else, no obstacles, without losing distinctness. Need I remind you, but I will because it's so beautiful, of the metaphor of Indra's pearls, illustrating the infinitely reflected mutual relations between all members of the universe. A net hangs over the palace of the Vedic god Indra at Mount Meru, axis of the world. There is a multifaceted jewel at each vertex of the net, and each jewel is reflected in all the other jewels. Very mysterious. Very mysterious. I can confidently say, sickness is sickness, medicine is medicine. And also that neither is independent of the other, any more than darkness from light, love from hate, I from you, anything from anything. If sickness exists substantially, where does it begin? Where does it end? The language of Chan would subvert the binary, subvert the disease of dualism, objectifying and freezing one side or the other, breaking reality into discrete or discreetly conceptualized and isolated pieces. Moment by moment, please welcome prajna, surpassing wisdom, which is no static position, the truth that sets you free, also known as right view, the first step on the Eightfold Path. Everything, including all the other steps, follows from this. Is sickness then a fixed point of view? The common conviction, for example, that myself is me, Maggie, right there, who is going to die? This is the consciousness up to now that Jimmy mentioned yesterday. If this were the case ultimately, this isolated phenomenon of me, there'd be no medicine strong enough to heal my suffering. The fear of death underlying everything in my life. There's a koan in the Shoryo Roku where Yunmen speaks of the sicknesses one finds in Chan training, before and after an experience of realization. There are two sicknesses, he says, that prevent the light from penetrating. One sickness is where everything is unclear and something seems to hang before you. Therefore, the light does not penetrate. One sickness is where you have realized that everything is void, but still you feel you are in a mist. Therefore, the light does not penetrate. And after realization, he says, about the Dharmakaya, there are also two sicknesses. First, if you reach the Dharma but fall and remain there and do not extinguish your opinion about it, that is one sickness. Second, if you think it is wrong to give up efforts after enlightenment and minutely examine your own consciousness and find there is no scar, that is a sickness. So without going into specific hows, because it would be a whole other tesha, it can be said that all of these sicknesses stem from ideas or beliefs about practice and realization. What you think, what you feel, your opinion, I, is still centralized here, and the Dharma an object, however subtle. When you recognize the path, said Nyogen Senzaki, you're not on it. So today's gospel, according to Yunmen, delivers the good news that where there is sickness, there is medicine, too. Someone asked him, though this is constantly my most pressing concern, I cannot find a way in. Please, Master, show me a way in. Yunmen said, just in your present concern, there is a way. Right where you are in anguish, right here is where you encounter wholeness. Not two. Nelson Foster said, wherever you are, practice there. Can you trust that? Not about better or worse, but finally subverting conceptualization. Who's sick, after all? Who's concerned? Who is that? I might add that what is perceived as adversity, that idea, can extend you, can blossom into something quite wonderful. You never know, do you? I remember hearing David Longhi, once Prime Minister of New Zealand, speaking about having cancer and saying that it meant for him really living for the first time. The death sentence opened him up to the infinite preciousness of his life, to cherishing every moment as his last. Not thinking good, not thinking bad, not thinking life, not thinking death. Cool breeze. There's a cool change coming. At least in this fast-paced contemporary Western society, it's so easy to get panicky, to want a quick fix, a fix, full stop. I'm sick, help, I'm so messed up, there's something wrong with me, what can I do? There must be something. This is the question that Big Pharma wants you to ask. Whenever I spend time in the United States and have the misfortune to watch free-to-air television, I'm appalled at the fact that almost every other ad is for a prescription drug. It is usually a sequence showing a happy couple often older but well preserved, often hand in hand, strolling through a pleasant landscape. You have no idea what the drug is for. Arthritis, erectile dysfunction, cancer, depression. Though at some point symptoms and disease are briefly intimated. Then you are encouraged to ask your doctor about getting a prescription. It may be a disease you didn't even know you had until seeing the ad. Finally and rapidly, almost unintelligible, the list of possible side effects, and they're appalling, is given. This is the drug companies, of course, covering their tails. A few days before session, Jillie and I both had bouts of illness. Hers was a massive whole-body reaction to eating gluten. Mine, a virus that has kept making a comeback. And I say hopefully that it's not contagious. And I'm really sorry about the disgusting noises. I'm sure a lot of you have been thinking, ew, gross! The hacking and spluttering. I dare say that those of us have had things. There's still a lot about, as they say, as we move out of winter. So Jillie and I talked about not being 100%, and she remarked that no one would be 100%. And then I was thinking, what a funny expression. What is there to be 100% of anyway, given that you and I and everything is changing all the time? But the idea of feeling 100% is a powerful one. Sooner or later, you can get there. So to this end, doctors might suggest a new drug that you mightn't have heard of. Have it all. I've got the fact sheet here. I'll read you about this new drug. Have it all, when more is not enough. Have it all is the first and only treatment for dysphoric social attention consumption deficit anxiety disorder, or DSACDAD. Did you know that DSACDAD is one of the most common disorders out there, but it's the least talked about? Self-discovery through Have It All helps sufferers see that no matter how much they have, more is always possible. Patients taking Have It All have reported renewed interest in themselves, increased ability to spend, higher risk tolerance, better quality consumer decisions, improved social attention getting skills, return to former self-esteem levels, supplementary stamina levels, augmented vision, a surge in well-being. And there's also the disclaimer, some important safety information. Problems can be avoided if you take Have It All only when you are able to immediately benefit from its effects. To fully benefit from Have It All, patients are encouraged to engage in activities requiring exceptional mental, motor, and consumptive coordination. Have It All is not for you if you have abruptly stopped using alcohol or sedatives. Have It All should be taken indefinitely. Side effects may include mood changes, muscle strain, extraordinary thinking, dermal gloss, impulsivity-induced consumption, excessive salivation, hair growth, markedly delayed sexual climax, interspecies communication, taste perversion, terminal smile, and oral inflammation. Very rarely, users may experience a need to change physicians. Talk to your doctor about that. And the generic name for the drug is AVAFYNETYME, Avafintime. Time. for peace, Atul Gawande, one of their writers who is himself a physician, discusses the problems with the treatment of the terminally ill patients in the United States, where doctors too often collude with people in the fantasy that they are not going to die. This translates into ongoing, grueling treatments, enormous and unnecessary healthcare costs for the society, and particular anguish at the end of life, when people and their loved ones are not prepared, have not said the things that need to be said and done. He speaks of the need for honest and, of course, compassionate conversation between doctors and patients, as well as between patients and family members. The other night at the Zendo, San Francisco Zen Center priest Tova Green, who is a hospice social worker, recounted stories of individuals who have been encouraged by hospice not to wait, or it may be too late, and to be clear about what they want before and after death. Studies have been done showing that when the terminally ill live acknowledging things as they are, rather than being invested only in a fairy tale ending, their deaths are more peaceful and outcomes for the bereaved down the track are much more positive, which is pretty obvious that this would be the case. Being with things as they are, when the whole universe is medicine, each and every phenomenon, each timeless moment is sufficient unto itself. Remember the pearl? Remember the hologram? What is not essentially 100%? The cough, the sore body, the depressed thought are equally as the Nobel Prize or peaceful zazen or the healthy body. That's the really good news. That's the enlightened version of have it all. Then, that you can truly realize and express this fact, Yun Min poses this question: what is the self? The $64,000, as we used to say, core question. How is it? There's a medicine Buddha, you know. I think his name is Ashobhya. Correct me if I'm wrong, because I've got written down by Hajraguru. Okay, a supreme and cosmic Buddha who illuminates the entire universe. He's blue, and he comes out for Jukai ceremonies. So you'll see him tomorrow. While still a bodhisattva, he made 12 vows, some concerning the healing of the sick. As a Buddha, he has the task of dispensing spiritual medicine. He holds a small medicine jar, and his right hand is held like this in the gift-giving mudra. Thus he embodies the cosmos, constantly dispensing spiritual medicine. How does that medicine work? One day, Manjushri ordered Sudama to pick medicinal herbs. He said, "If there is something that is not medicine, bring it to me." Sudama searched all over, but there was nothing that was not medicine. So he went back and told Manjushri, "There is nothing that is not medicine." Manjushri said, "Gather something that is medicine." Sudama then picked up a blade of grass and handed it to Manjushri. Manjushri held it up and showed it to the assembly, saying, "This medicine can kill people, and it can also bring people to life." The most drastic remedy. which is infinitely available. Dharma gates are countless, and takes effect when the self is forgotten. As Julie reminded us yesterday, ours is the practice of forgetting the self. Mata Roshi used to talk about making ourselves accident prone, a terminal accident. Here at Kodoji, the natural world teaches us and inspires us to be naturally as we are. Do the birds worry about whether their performance was good enough? Do the frogs ask, "Have I got it?" Appreciate their generosity in inviting us to a life bigger than the bag of skin, its history and all those ideas. Moment by moment, excluding nothing. Lin Chi said, "There is nothing I dislike. There's nothing I dislike." I came across this sweet poem by Jane Hirschfield called Each Step. Nowhere on this earth is it not a place where lovers turn lightly in sleep in each other's arms, the blue pastures of dusk flowing gladly into the dawn. Nowhere that is not reached by the scent of good bread through an open window, by the flash of fish in the flashing of summer streams, or the trees unfolding their praises, apricots, pears, of the chill, winter chill nights. Briefly, briefly, we see it and forget, as if the spell were too powerful to hold on the tongue, as if we preferred the weight to the prize. Like a horse that carries on his own back the sack of oats he will need, unsuspecting, looking always ahead, over the mountains, to where sweet springs lie. He remembers this much from his youth, the taste of things cold and pure, while the water sound sings on and on, unlistened to in his ears, while each step is nothing less than the glistening river body re-entering home. So let us practice not forgetting who we are. Today's prescription: be faithful to your practice. Be awake. Each step is the way.